Technorama episode 618, now that that's settled. Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is the podcast that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. My name is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and I am so glad you are here. And I'm so glad the technology is working.
I'm sorry.
That voice you hear just across from me, like right over there, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing well.
You have to look to your left. I'm pointing. You have to look to your there. There. Like that.
I need to reverse the camera angle, I guess.
Maybe. High five.
Yeah.
we're slowly getting it. Although I think my remote fell off the table at one point. We'll see what happens when we get to that point. All right.
You can just use my phone. Here you go.
If you've never joined us before, well, you're in for a treat. This is unlike any other podcast you've ever heard because we sort of plan.
We do?
Oh, there are so many podcasts out there that just sound like a couple of people that get and talk for a while and go, you know, we've been doing that for years. How come they got like 10 bazillion viewers and listeners? But we have yet to figure that out. For you that are just watching along, this show is for Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. And if you haven't already done so, go out to your bookstores, get the fourth edition of Podcasting for Dummies. T. Morris and I put that out there. We've even started the companion podcast for season 4. We're on episode 3, which will be out on November 3rd. So
having fun
with that. Yes, looking forward to that. We have some listener feedback. Should we get to that?
Yes.
All right. Including a voicemail.
Yeah.
The voicemail line still works!
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today.
Reach right out and pull one out. How about a Fresca?
Those letters.
No.
I love those letters.
Terrible stuff.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, the funny thing is, as I was watching the boys, and they kept going to that, what was it, the church or the whatever it was, and they kept offering Fresca. I know I've seen another show really recently where somebody offered a Fresca, and I went, oh my gosh, this is just too creepy. Yeah. Like, these shows are talking to each other at this point.
I know it was funny. The first time that the guy offered one, I thought, okay, here's the product placement. But then they kept on, and then it kept on. I'm like, oh, okay, what's up with the Fresca?
All right. If you haven't seen The Boys, I just finished watching the second season this week. Yeah, more of the same, only a little deeper backstory and some new super terrorists. No, let's call them super villains.
That's right.
Well, we were going to do some voicemail, weren't we?
Hey, by the way, before you do, keep in mind that November is International Technorama Voicemail Month.
And to kick it off, great segue, we have a voicemail from none other than John Miller Jr.
Yes, this message is for Chuck and Craig. This is John Miller Jr., and I have predictions for you. I'm going to give you your answers to some important questions coming up.
Okay.
I'm going to start with tech-related questions. Chuck, your issue is it's related to power. Craig, it's a malware infection. Okay, in terms of fruits and vegetables, Chuck, it's going to be broccoli. Craig, it's going to be bananas. And for important decisions, Chuck, the answer is going to be no, it won't work out, costs too much. And for Craig, answer is yes, but you'll have to give up something valuable to make it happen. Thank you for attending my TED Talk. Have a nice day.
Oh, boy.
I'm the banana guy every morning, and money is no object.
I was going to say, is this his version of Voicemail Jeopardy?
or the great Karnak.
Yeah.
He has to wait for us to come up with the questions now.
Yeah, that's right. You know, my computer is acting a little funny.
It's a malware
issue. Oh, wait, the answer is a malware infection. Oh, okay.
We also sent out our social question of the week on, I think I got it on Friday because I had the day off. Woohoo! Got all caught up with a whole bunch of things I never do. And our question of the week was from last episode, episode 617, what lives in your brain rent-free? And we got some wonderful answers. I think I'm on the Technorama page. No, I'm on my page. I got to look because we also, you know, shared these out. Jeff says space lives in his brain rent-free. My sister says repetitive song lyrics, but only at 2 a.m. And I responded back and said, that's how I get my karaoke ideas.
You just wake up. Oh,
I do. Write like, down. Super Tramp. That's awesome. Paul Berg says,
take the long way home. There we go. All right.
Danthal Fairman says, my estranged father, he lives in his brain rent free. Okay. Hmm. Scott, I used to work with Scott. He says, every mistake I ever made also seems to have free vacation property in my wife's brain. I'm going with the timeshare. I don't let anybody go rent free.
Yeah. Especially with mistakes.
Thomas says, I have a number of mint hammers. And the hammers is capitalized. I'm not sure if that's specific to something that I'm not familiar with. Sean says, imposter syndrome and 80s lyrics. Oh, yes. Lone Guy's Night says, tinnitus. Like, yes, that ringing in my ears. It lives in my brain rent-free. Actually, I've learned to turn that into a tranquility thing so I can fall asleep listening to it. It's great white noise if you try it that way. JR says, Murdoch's. JR says Muppets. I'm sorry. Muppets live in his brain. Jack just puts an animated GIF of Homer Simpson's brain with the little monkey going.
The monkey with the thimbles.
Yeah, the symbol monkey. The creepy one. There was one of those on Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I watched that movie recently. Still holds up pretty well. You know, aside from.
I like that movie.
The home decorations and vehicles, but. Mark Trouble, a tiny frightened little boy crying, hiding alone in the dark in the rain. Wow, that's pretty deep.
At least he's not paying rent.
Scott says D&D stuff, and stick with it, Scott. We need that rent-free D&D stuff in your brain. Ken says IP addresses. Yes. MAC addresses too. Old data sync lease numbers, routing numbers, and song lyrics mostly wrong. He keeps the wrong lyrics in his head.
Right.
I have childhood phone numbers in my head back when you had to memorize them or you didn't get a ride home phone numbers. My friend Mark was 2251571. No, 2251577. Yeah, 2251571. Steve was 2250453. We were 2250803.
This is like pre-cell phone, so yes. you didn't have numbers or a phone to readily call people.
And it's funny because you can remember, like, after you got rid of the rotary and went to touchtone, the patterns they made on the phone, kind of like, you know, you do with swipe or your combination unlock on your phone. You just go, you know, X and right. down. Like, that's how I remember some of the numbers. Okay. Ralph says, Dark Whispers of Shadows. I should do this like this. Dark Whispers of Shadows Pass.
You and the reverb.
Just because we know. Thanks, Victor. You can thank Victor for making me learn that.
Yeah. Thanks, Victor.
What else do we have? Tiffany says, Backstreet Boys lyrics, all of them. Never forget any of them. Forget why I went into the kitchen, but never song lyrics. When you go into a room, we did the Sniglet before. When you go into a room and you can't remember why, that's called Destinesia. Remember that. I have that all the time. Yes, the time. Let's see. Brian says,
you know, by the way, on that tip, I hate, I'm sitting here go, oh, I need my keys. And I literally stand up and walk. And as soon as I walk into the room, I mean, it was been like a moment. And I go, you know, maybe I pick something else up and start doing, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I came in here for something else.
Now I have like multiple distraction syndrome on my way to do something. Like, oh, I should really put this coffee cup in the dishwasher because it's in the living room. But to get from the living room to the dishwasher, I also see something on the carpet. Oh, the cat puked. Stop. Get the carpet cleaner. Clean up the cat puke. Then, oh, the garbage is full. Better take out the garbage. Yeah, it's. You sent me. I think it was you that sent me that video of Walter White doing the same thing.
Well, yeah.
He had to change the light bulb. And at the end of this, like, seven series of things he gets distracted with, his wife comes out to the garage and says, hey, the light bulb's burned out. I'm getting to the light bulb.
And he's got the engine out of the car. And
that was awesome. That happens all the time. I like this one from Stan Seeler. He was our docent at the Computer History Museum. I wore that shirt for the first time in like 4 years, just this week. That was awesome. And he wrote, Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria. And I love the fact that Facebook thought it needed a translation because it has a little link that says, see translation.
Oh, it does.
It translates it to girl, paint, and Santa Maria.
Okay, thanks, Facebook.
Would you like to share some of your favorites that you got?
Yeah, so let's see, which page was I on?
Were you on Technorama or Craig?
Did I not have the right?
I don't know.
So what lives in your brain rent-free? Tracy Seller says, wait, I have a brain and it's supposed to be charging rent?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Sweet Steve, London says, this is like opening Pandora's box. But if I'm not mistaken, her box was actually an urn. But anyhow, he has the MS-DOS basic developed for the MSX Spectra Video 728 home computer.
Wow, that's pretty specific.
Yeah, I tested one at a museum a few years back, and I managed to, out of my head, like in 20 minutes, sort of basic program, or write a sort of short basic program that drew a fractal on the screen. That's pretty good. He said, I did not know that I had the knowledge within me still. And yes, the first computer belongs in a museum. I know, right?
Sweet Steve, that deserves the prize winner, because it also reminded me when I was setting up, what was it? I was playing some of the games when I got my Apple IIe years and years ago, and I was putting floppies in and going, hey, any of these still work? And one of them, I ended up at the machine level prompt. You know, there's the basic prompt and then there's the assembler prompt, and couldn't get out of it. And without thinking of it, my fingers hit some key combination. I think it was like 6-Control-P, and that rebooted it. I went, what? I'm just kind of staring at my fingers going, what magic do you still possess?
Right. Let's see. Lisa Ann Essex says, poems I learned when she was 11. And John Kratzer says, every Mel Brooks movie.
All right, I got there's the link. A good one. Yeah.
I got the link up to mine. That was the Technorama one. Fred Smith, my buddy Fred, said Star Trek, the motion picture.
that's rent-free. Yeah.
I think he's still picking on us. Gary Lindros says Babylon 5. And
of course.
Let's see. Oh, my friend, Cecilia, she sent a video over to the Baked Bean Song on Facebook. I mean, on YouTube, excuse me.
That sounds like an earworm just waiting to happen. I'm going to leave
that
one alone.
Oh, yeah, I'm sharing that with you after the show.
No, I'm not going to watch it.
Well, then I sent her the Chicken Techno video, so in retaliation.
Okay.
So, Emily Matthews Parker says Hamilton, and our buddy Norbert Davis says, improper sarcastic comments. I must keep them contained.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's like Mystery Science Theater 3000 going off in my head. Constantly. It's taken me a long time to learn to filter. Well, of course, alcohol
I've
reduces.
I've got so many things rattling around, everything from the Flintstones to Andy Griffith trivia to Weird Al songs. There's all kinds of stuff rattling around. See, if I turn my head this way, I can feel them go one side of the brain, feel them go to the other
side. You hear it's like one of those rain sticks. You hear everything rattle from one side to the other.
Yeah. It's just where everything rolls down and hits the corner of the room.
What's great, though? There are jobs for people with random thoughts like that and just crazy ideas. It's called marketing. A career in marketing might be right for you. I was reminded of this last week when our team was going over our conference results, because we had a virtual conference on the 27th. And then we had a kind of a quick review looking at the ratings, going, what can we do next year? What can we do in the spring? And the zany ideas came out and people were like, hey, that's not a half bad idea. Like, what? Okay.
Yeah. I may have missed my calling a little bit. I probably should have done something like that.
I'm really happy with my job right now.
No. Oh, yeah. I'm not going anywhere.
All right. Are we done? Are we done? Should we play the
out? I think so.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I think we figured out everybody's rent problems.
Charge more. Or get a timeshare. Mm-hmm. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call the listener line 707-530. This is National Technorama Month. Technorama voicemail. What is the official name of this we gave it?
International Technorama Voicemail Month. You got to say that with reverb.
International Technorama Voicemail Month. Someone could make an audio clip out of that and send it back to me.
All of November.
Warning, your doctor may. You see your doctor if Technorama lasts longer than 4 hours.
That's right.
How can you get a hold of us in voicemail? You can go call us at 707. That's a U.S. number, so you might have to put a plus one in front of that. 707-530-2428. That last part spells chat, so it's easy to remember if you still have letters on your keyboard. Otherwise, you can send us an email or a voice recording in your email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime...
If you're on Facebook, you can go to our page, and there's that...
Oh, that's
call
right.
Call me button.
Call me button, yep. Didn't we have something like that on our main website, too, for leaving voicemail? Maybe that just went to the Facebook one, but awesome.
It's been a long time since I checked it out, but let's go take a look. I'll find out.
You do that?
I'll double check that.
I'll play the history song. On this day in history for November 4th, 2020, this is the 309th day of the... Oh, my gosh, the year's almost over. I mean, thank goodness the year's almost over.
What more could happen?
There are just 57 days. Don't say that. Don't say that.
All right.
All right. It was on this date in 1783 that Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's Symphony No. 36 was performed for the last time in Linz. I'm sorry, the first time. First time in Linz, Austria.
And also today in 1847, Sir James Young Simpson, a Scottish physician, discovered the anesthetic properties of chloroform.
I can just see how that went. Oh, yeah.
We saw it in every detective movie or...
Where they put the Kleenex over their face. Out they go. It was also on this date in 1890 that the City of South London, City and South London Railway, London's first deep level tube railway, opened between King William Street and Stockwell.
And 98 years ago today in Egypt, British archaeologist Howard Carter and his men found the entrance to Tutankhamun's tomb.
Wait a minute. Say that right.
Tutankhamun's?
No. Shorten it up to just the first three letters. You'll get it.
Oh, Tutankhamun?
There you go. King Tut. Yeah. And I have a comment about that later. We have a show that we're watching.
King Tut's tomb in the Valley of the Kings.
It was also on this date in 1952 that the United States government established the National Security Agency, or NSA. They're watching you.
You better believe it. And November 4th, 1962, the United States concludes Operation Fishbowl and returned the goldfish to its... No, it's not. And finally, above-ground nuclear weapons... testing series in its final above ground nuclear testing series in anticipation of the 1963 partial nuclear test ban treaty.
You know, I think they're going to do a partial nuclear test ban treaty. We better blow up the rest of these babies.
Yeah.
Also,
do what we can.
On this day in 1973, the Netherlands experienced its first car-free Sunday, caused by the 1973 oil crisis, of course. Highways are used only for cyclists and roller skaters.
We talked about that a year or so ago.
That's awesome. All right, you get the friendship. You want to start or you want me to start?
Sure. Happy birthday goes out on this date to French mathematician and engineer Pierre-Simon Girard, born on this date in 1765.
Not too shabby. Irish engineer who invented the tractor. Someone had to invent the tractor.
Wasn't John Deere?
No, it was Harry Ferguson. He was born 136 years ago today.
And born November 4th, 1904, Polish engineer, technician, and academic was born today.
Tadeusz Zielinski.
Tadeusz Zielinski.
It's like Thaddeus, only it's with a sh on the end and no...
Tadeusz.
Tadeusz. Yeah. All right, and we used to have a newscaster in Wisconsin named Ray Zielinski, but this one's got like extra accents and things on the letter, so...
No kid.
Let's see, this is Polish guy, so I'm going to go with Josef Rotblat, the Polish-English physicist and academic, Nobel Prize laureate, was born 112 years ago.
And Walter Cronkite, American journalist.
You skipped Ruth.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry. Ruth Handler, American businesswoman, created Barbie, and was born on the same date in 1916.
Ruth. Walter Cronkite, the American journalist, voice actor. And producer, was born 104 years ago today.
And Art Carney, American actor, was born on that same date in 1918.
Boom, Ralphie Boy. Yeah, that Art Carney. American scientist and engineer Mary Sherman Morgan was born 99 years ago today.
And Charles K. Kao was the Chinese physicist and engineer, Nobel Prize laureate. There's a few of those on this list today. Was born 87 years ago today.
What other podcast do you know that celebrates Nobel Prize laureates, physicists, and engineers? This is
science.
It. Yes. Also born that same day in 1937, American actress and singer Loretta Swit, Hot Lips Houlihan from MASH. Remember?
Yes, I do remember. I was just thinking about her the other day because of MASH.
Careful. All right.
American actor Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid, is 59 today.
He's not a kid anymore. I thought he was younger than me for whatever reason. I don't know.
His age is surprising because he does look young for his age.
He must have been like in his early 20s when he filmed that, because anyway.
Mid-20s. I think he's in his mid-20s.
Anton Buslov, the Russian astrophysicist and journalist, was born on that same date in 1983. That's the way it was on this day in history for November 4th, 2020, except I did not get names off the calendar. Shame on me. Let me see if I can smash these in here. Calendar, no. Docs.google.com. I don't know. What am I looking for? Spreadsheets? Google Drive?
Just type in calendar. Birthday calendar.
I'm looking. Starred. This is live editing right here. Show notes. No, it wasn't in the show notes, was it? It was right in the main Technorama folder, was it not? Oh, no, we're going to run out.
So,
why do we have two birthday calendars? We have two documents named birthday calendar. You're fooling with me.
No, one's a form. One's a spreadsheet.
No, they're both listed as spreadsheet. All right. One of them has...
So November 4th is Avner
Braverman.
That's right. November 5th is Michael Corlett.
Yep.
Now, what am I supposed to go up to?
It's the 4th through the 10th.
All right. So John 8th is John Clifford, Mark the Uncaffeinated One, and On the Drift. And on the... With a 10th? The 10th is John Noble. Yes, that John Noble from The Island.
Awesome. Happy birthday to all of you. If you are not on our birthday calendar, but you have a birthday this week. Let me see. There's the birthday calendar link on the screen. I got to do this all myself now. We wish you all the best. Thank you for being on our birthday calendar. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year if you do go over to that link. Chuckchat.com/wiki or chuckchat.com/birthday. They both go to the same place. /wiki/birthday. Not too hard to remember. We have fault tolerance, belt and suspenders on this podcast for the birthday calendar.
Right.
Let's move right along. Apologies for not getting in while the music was playing, but let's see. We have, this is great embarrassing news, everyone. I wish I had that. Here, we'll just do
impending news, everyone.
Okay, impending news, and do you want this story, or shall I?
No, please.
Okay, this is a story about some, if you own a Tesla, you may have more security features than you originally noted. This woman, her car was being stolen, but she was told by her phone, and it wasn't just the technology helping her, it was the idiocy of the people stealing the car that helped her as well.
I'm sure.
Let me read
like
on.
That never happens.
There is a site actually called Teslarati, and this is where it comes from. Australian radio host Annabelle Brett, who works at Mix 16.3 Canberra, cleverly
1-6.3.
How do they measure frequencies? They must have a different radio system or something. Yeah. Cleverly used her Tesla mobile app to mess with the two would-be thieves who attempted to steal her Model 3. There's a funny video that covers the whole news story, but this is the gist of it. The theft attempt started when the radio host received notifications on her phone early one morning that her Tesla Model 3's alarm was triggered. After receiving the notifications, Brett went to her locked garage where she had parked her Model 3 and discovered it was missing. Dun, dun, dun. Unfortunately, the would-be thieves For the would-be thieves, Brett's Model 3 is equipped with safety features like Sentry Mode, which continuously monitors a Tesla's surroundings when it's left unattended. Through these features, footage from the car's suite of cameras could be retrieved. The Tesla's mobile app features gave Brett time to follow her Model 3's would-be carnappers. She was able to track her car through the Tesla app unbeknownst to the would-be thieves. With the help of a friend with a vehicle, Brett was able to eventually catch up with her vehicle. Quote, on my car phone app, you can actually see where the car is. We noticed that it was just around the corner, so without thinking, I jumped in the car, called the police, very important, called the police, yep, and basically that's right. Followed them on the map. Okay, then it got even more fun because she, where's the rest of the story on this webpage? Kind of cut it up. Oh, I must have clicked through to a video link or something. There's like an ad in the middle. Yes, there's an ad in the middle. Darn it. Because I saw another, what looked like a headline. All right. Yeah. I did look at this earlier and I watched the videos. Brett could do more than just track her Model 3 with the Tesla app too. Tesla gives owners the ability to activate valet mode, heat or cool the seats, control media, flashlights, or honk the horn, open and close the roof, and more through the mobile app. So it's kind of like the vehicle's haunted or something at this point. Brett, for her part, decided to use these features to her advantage, much to the chagrin of the would-be carnapper. So they're driving along, all of a sudden the window goes down. Like, what?
Okay. Yeah.
And she honked the horn. Yes.
Roof. What's going on?
People getting mad because her car is honking at them. My phone app has the ability to slow down the car. So she almost with that a bit. You're like, come on. Yeah. I got my foot to the floor. It does have a limit of 80 kilometers an hour, too. So I was able to put the windows down, beep the horn, and basically screw with them as they were driving it. Oh, but wait, it gets better. Because when they were stealing the car in the garage, the guy had a hoodie on, but he's clearly facing the camera, not really trying to obscure his identity at all.
Okay. Right.
Then she gets the car back. She tracked them to a parking lot and said, hey, I called the police. They're on their way. Well, they get away in the getaway car. Well, she takes a video of the license plate. Okay. they made absolutely no effort to this. She gets to her car. The guy, they left their toolbox in the back seat. And the best part, one of the thieves left his driver's license in the car.
Oh, gosh.
This is going to be on one of those, world's stupidest dumb shows.
You know, it reminds me of, it was one of those dumb crook news a long time ago. And the guy came in the convenience store to steal cigarettes or rob him cigarettes. And he said, give me cigarettes. The guy said, I can't give you cigarettes without an ID. And the thief gave him his ID.
He was holding up the store and he gave. Yeah. It just never ends. When I was in high school, someone did vandalism on the side of the planetarium and they signed their initials. And there aren't too many people in the school with those initials. S-O.
That's funny.
All right, let's take a quick break. It's the bottom of the half hour, or it's the top of the hour. When did we start this crazy ride? It's halfway through the show. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with, what do we got? Remember When? We've got some Pass Me the Remote and some Geek Library. So hang out. We'll be right back.
This is Bob. Before, Bob relied on the internet to enhance his geek status. After using Technorama for natural geek enhancement, Bob is rolling his 20-sided die, reciting Holy Grail lines, and answering Star Trek trivia with the best of them. And he has a happy missus at the home, too! Technorama for natural geek enhancement. Only available at chuckchat.com.
Hi, this is Edward James Olmos, Battlestar Commander Adama, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Don't forget, frack off.
Oh, Oh, I got that. I almost forgot to push the button to put us back on camera. I forgot to turn it on.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm getting better at this. Let's go into, but I did forget to show the picture of this lady with her nice Tesla. Okay, that was fun. Hard to read and do the story at the same time. So, shout out to the chat room, Craig. Who do we have out there? Okay, there's your shout out.
Yeah, we got Mark Truble, John Miller Jr., Mike Robinson, Clinton Alvord. Ding.
Does he get a ding?
Well, he said ding.
Okay.
Just repeating what he said.
Wrong show.
Yeah.
Insert overused
sound effect here.
You have to listen to the last topic as Trek to understand that one. It was a running gag through the show. A lot of fun.
That was fun.
All right. We do this show Sundays at 9:30 Eastern time. And yes, all you changed your clock. So I'm now doing this an hour later than I used to. But that's okay. I'm all right with that. We do this for the love of it. Technorama is just a whole lot of fun. And we're glad that you're here with us. If you can join us live, Sundays at 9:30 Eastern time. Don't know what that is in your neck of the woods, but we'd love to see you on Facebook and or YouTube. Or you listen to the podcast when it comes out in audio form on Tuesday nights, late Tuesday night. When do we release that? Sometime there.
Late Tuesday night for Wednesday release. But
all right. Let's move on with the remember when. That's not the right. It's this other green button. I almost hit the rim shot.
Yeah, don't do that.
Sure, we can do that. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe it's your turn, is it not?
Well, we can kind of scroll some of these. These are some, I think your wife actually found this.
Yes, Donna did find this and texted it to me. 31 vintage ads that probably would be banned today. We're not going to go through all 31 of them because we want to leave some fun for you. And did you have any favorites in here, Craig?
Well, there's a few that are kind of like very sexist, and it's only because of the
God, yeah.
I mean, the age of the things or make it, you know, at the time it was probably okay. It says, women don't leave the kitchen. We all know that a woman's place is in the home. Cooking up for a man, cooking a man a delicious meal. But if you're still enjoying the bachelor life, don't have a little miss waiting. Then you can come on down, and it's got cut off.
There's one that says, for better start in life, start cola earlier. How soon is too soon? There's like this little baby on there. Not soon enough. Laboratory tests over the last few years have proven that babies who start drinking soda during the cutoff at that point. It's like, what? This is insane.
Yeah. Here's one with it's a bald lady, and it says, introducing the flip style hair dryer. Even if you can't use it, it's still fun to have.
I think I remember seeing this ad. I was like, I think it was the first time I've seen a bald woman before.
No, it's not. No, it is not.
Oh, here's one. Hey, whoa. Befitting of the season.
Wait. What? It's not the first time you've seen a bald woman.
Oh?
Star Trek the Motion Picture.
No, this was before that.
Okay. Yes. I got you.
In an ad. Yes. Okay. There's a number of them that have to do with bad breath or offensive odor or deodorant. Like nothing kills it. You know, he's not saying see you later. He's saying goodbye because you're like what body odor? How television benefits your children? Motorola, leader in television, shows how TV can mean better behavior at home and better marks in school.
Hey, I like this one down here about the Navy. Gee, I wish I were a man. It's
that was
a lady
actually
dressed in the uniform.
No, that was
I'd
a
join
very,
the Navy.
That was a very popular propaganda to get guys to join the Navy. I remember seeing that.
And then right below it, it says, be a man and do it.
Okay.
United States Navy. Whoa.
Or the ketchup event for Del Monte ketchup. You mean a woman can open it? It's got like a screw top on it. I'm like, wow.
That's terrible.
There. He meant it. He said good night, but what he meant was goodbye because of that. Don't let deodorant failure rob you of popularity. Like, what? Yeah.
Now, this donut one down at the bottom makes no sense. It's leap year, girls. Catch your man with tempting, taste tempting donuts. It has a cartoon picture of a lady with a ball and chain behind her back. With
yeah.
A plate of donuts that she's offering the man.
Nice.
What's that got to do with a leap year?
A kid with a razor. Begin early. Shave yourself. It's got a picture of a baby with a razor. Like, yikes. Actually, you know what's funny? I have a picture of myself about that age with a big plastic, like, jumbo toy razor.
Oh, yeah. I think we've all had those. I remember having one of those.
Oh, man. Still can't shave myself without nicking myself somewhere. All right. Let's move on to one more.
Hey, wait a minute. Nice hair, nice eyes, nice teeth, but these charms won't may be wasted if she uses the wrong deodorant.
Yeah. There was another one where, like, beautiful, but dumb.
I'm only laughing at these because they're so ridiculous.
They are ridiculous. So from vintage ads that probably would be banned to 25 most spectacular branding fails of the last 25 years. And some of these were actually like Super Bowl ads. Did you read?
And when I saw that article, I went, oh, this is a good companion to the.
Yeah. Well, first it feels like clickbait and we trust you that we're not. I didn't look at all of these, but I do remember many of them. The McDonald's Arch Deluxe, the burger with grown-up taste. You know what McDonald's discovered? The people who wanted to go in for fast food wanted a classic McDonald's. They didn't want this. You remember the Wow chips? Like the
As a matter of fact, I do.
The no fat because
there was a big hype
chip.
About it.
Yeah.
Until and then when they came out, there was
they found out
also a big hype about it.
Yeah. Olestra was a diuretic. In fact, I believe the news stories called it anal leakage.
Yeah. It was not good.
Oh, there's a number of them in here. Remember Flues, the internet currency endorsed by Whoopi Goldberg?
You know, I vaguely remember seeing that around.
I remember the commercials.
Yeah, it must have been right around the .com era, .boom era, bomb rather.
I'm glad I'm vilified because there's an ad in here for the Pontiac Aztec from year 2000. I always thought that was one of the two ugliest vehicles ever made. And of course, they even cite Walter White in here.
Yeah.
It may have been parked in Walter White's driveway, but the Aztec, widely considered one of the ugliest cars ever made, broke bad for everyone else.
Right.
They even have a Segway in here.
Well, the Segway, that was such a big hyped product.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it was overhyped.
It was going to transform the world. And everybody was like, okay, what is it? When they came out with it, while neat, it didn't really transform anything.
No. Yeah, and then people look like a dork riding it.
A little bit, yeah.
All right, there's
which
more
I've
to go.
Not ridden one ever. Have
I
you?
Have once.
Is it fun?
Yeah, it actually was kind of fun. Just to say that you get on it and you lean and it moves around. It was at
was it a tour?
No, I think it was Knowledge 13. One of our partners had one out in front that you could go test drive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've always thought they were cool. I've seen some really neat ones since then, but.
12. Yeah, it was Knowledge 12. Flop. That's what it was. It was in New Orleans.
Oh, okay. Hey. Actually, when we were in Vegas, Orlando, we really needed one to get from one side of that building to the other because that's a big convention hall.
Would have rented those. That would have been fun. All right. Yeah. Let's thank the people who make this show happen besides us. It is time for the reading of the patrons. These are the people who donate.
The running of the patrons?
Yeah, it makes it sound like we're chasing them through the streets with bulls or something.
Yeah.
You can, for as little as a dollar a show, you can help sponsor this show. And we greatly appreciate the, 27 people that are doing that? So now Craig's OCD is kicking in again. He can't have an empty cell on this four-column table.
Hey, by the way, my wife says, there's no way I have a OCD. I don't know why she says that.
Okay, is your workroom a mess? Is everything hung up with like outlines of the wrenches and screwdriver? Nah.
Oh no, no.
Okay,
not quite.
All right, so you don't. This show is brought to you by you. Thank you very much to the people such as Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris MC, Dan D-Man Coyer, Danny Mortensen, Dean Jensen. Can I do this in my Walter Cronkite? I don't know. Denise English, Gary Lindros, Harold McKinstry. I'm turning into Richard Nixon now. John Clifford, yeah, John Noble, Jorga Schrauen, Christina, Kyle Nishioka, Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, Mike Wills, your name here, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Weshey, Steve Therian, Spiffy, Steve Cody, and sweet Steve London. They all donate to the show, and in return, we give them a special episode along with reading their name out on the show. And when we get to go get a postcard again, we're going to get our postcard circuit going again, so that we get to send them something. Oh, wow. You know, it just dawned on me that we haven't gotten a postcard from Jorga in a long time, which means he's not traveling either.
I guess not. Well, he could always send one when he goes to the grocery store and back, you know, and just send them random.
Hello from Walgreens.
Hello from the corner of, you know.
Hello from a different corner. How do you get to be a Patreon patron of this show and support it? Well, you can go over to that website you see on the screen, or if you're listening, patreon.com/technoramapodcast. We would love to hear from you and add you to this list and get you that special episode of Technorama that only the patrons get to listen to. We've actually had reviews on those shows. One said, hey, this isn't half bad.
Thanks.
The other said, I could listen to it most of the time. All right, we need to work on better reviews. And
well, hey, the glass is always half full, right?
Right. Not half bad, which means the other half is, I don't know. Yeah. Okay. We have a Pass the Remote segment because I finished up a couple series in a movie-ish
thing. There you go. I'm going to hand you with my cell phone. It's
right. Thanks. Wow, it looks like a real remote. How'd that happen?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Play that theme. There's something missing from this list, but I can't remember what it was, and I'll try to remember for the next episode. Because I went through a whole bunch of stuff on Amazon Prime and Netflix. But I'll just spotlight these two. The first one is Hannah on Amazon Prime. Finished up season two. There are two seasons available right now. Hannah is, I don't know what you call it, kind of a sci-fi thriller drama about a young girl who's part of kind of like the project you get L from on Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
But they get more into the backstory in season two. You get glimpses of it in season one. She definitely has some special abilities. And who you think is her family isn't really her family. And she keeps getting tossed around from place to place. And you're not really sure who the bad guys are. Because the people who want to abduct her right away are nice to her later. But they're doing it for ulterior motives. And it's like, you feel bad for this girl because she really doesn't know who to trust, but you don't feel bad for her because you know she can take care of herself. And yeah, it's really well done. I liked season two. I'd say I like season two better than season one, but I encourage you to watch both of them. Good show. Donna and I watched this. This was our together show. So now we're up for another one. We're watching Queen's Gambit on
that was on Netflix. That was a good one.
Yeah, we just watched the first two tonight, and that's starting out really, really well. I like that. The second show I have for you is a two-hour range, called The Secrets of the Saqqara Tomb. So this is a modern-day documentary. I think it was filmed in 2018 about opening up this tomb of not a royal person. When we think of the royals, and we talked about King Tutankhamun and the Valley of the Kings, this is down by the Step Pyramid in Egypt. The Step Pyramid being the oldest stone pyramid.
My place?
No.
The Step Pyramid?
Before they had the slants, they had the steps going up.
That's right.
So this was the first stone pyramid, the oldest known stone pyramid. And within a kilometer, there was this, what was it called? I can't remember. It has a name of this region where for centuries, for a couple of millennia, they had a cult that worshipped cats and the cat goddess, and they get really good into the history of this whole thing. And they found a tomb recently belonging to a regular guy. I mean, a very rich regular guy, but he wasn't a royal. He wasn't a pharaoh. And they read from the hieroglyphs. His name is Wati, and they're trying to figure out, but they haven't. There's four shafts in this excavated tomb. They haven't found the body or anything yet. And before they can dig the shafts, they have to decipher all the hieroglyphics to understand what the story is on the walls of the tomb. Meanwhile, the digging crew isn't just sitting around. They're digging up other stuff around and discovering other elements, some really interesting and rare artifacts. So if you're into archaeology, this is a great documentary. It's called The Secrets of the Saqqara Tomb, S-A-Q-Q-A-R-A, on Netflix.
Check that out.
Yeah, I love documentaries.
Like, I kind of like those kind of documentaries every once in a while.
That are based in fact, that are based in history. You know, granted, I like the stories that are tied in with history. Like Turn was a good series that we watched a few years ago. If you haven't seen
that's the Civil War one. The Revolutionary War. Yes, yes. The spies and stuff.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So a lowly cabbage farmer can turn the tide of history.
Yeah.
All right. That's,
by the way.
Yeah.
So I didn't have anything new I really watched. However, I am to tell you, I haven't yet, because I'm going to watch this with Harrison. Mandalorian came out on Friday.
Season
up.
Two. Yes.
Yep. Season two. And I think it's right at Thanksgiving, November 20th, I think, is the Animaniacs return on Hulu.
Nice.
So that's coming up. I'm looking forward to that myself.
I will look for those as well. I think that takes us all the way to the Geek Library, which would mean push that button. All right. Why don't you take this one?
Okay. So this is this link is to an interview with Leland Melvin, who was the astronaut who has his famous picture with his two dogs. Mm-hmm. His official picture had his dogs, and he wasn't supposed to have his dogs in the picture, but apparently they snuck them in.
Well, dogs are important to the space program. You know, you got Laika, the Russian dog that got sent up.
That's true. So here, let me read a little bit about him, but I'm not going to go into the whole interview part. But so Leland Melvin has lived a very interesting life. He was a star athlete in his younger years, breaking records in the University of Richmond as a wide receiver and getting selected by the Detroit Lions in 1986 National Football League draft. Injuries soon derailed the gridiron dreams, however, as Melvin sought out even more rarefied air, a career as an astronaut. Melvin began working at NASA as an engineer in 1989 and became a member of the astronaut corps in 98.
Corpse?
Corpse? Corpse.
The astronaut corpse? Corpse. Who died?
Whatever you want. However you want to say it. So, he reached orbit twice, flying in to the International Space Station on the Space Shuttle Atlantis STS-122 mission in February of 2008, and again on STS-129 in November 2009. In the latter year, he also orchestrated the most beloved official NASA astronaut photo of all time, a playful shot that cedes the spotlight to Melvin's two affectionate dogs, Jake and Scout. I do love that picture. You can tell those dogs love that man. He then transitioned to a career in education. Melvin led NASA's Office of Education from October 2010 through his retirement from the agency in 2014. He continues to inspire young people and get interested in science, technology, and engineering today. For example, Melvin is a teacher at the Star Course series organized by Varsity Tutors, which provides a variety of online education opportunities for K-12 students. In fact, the former astronaut is hosting a free 45-minute Star Course called Build a Rocket Racer with an Astronaut. That happened on October 27th, so it may be available online. I'm not sure, so don't go looking for that if you're going to try and attend
Neat.
It. But can find it somewhere else. Anyway, there's a little bit more about it, but you can go read the interview. And I think, yeah, he's a fascinating guy. And I can't say enough about that picture.
Where do they find the link to this interview? Remind them once again.
And show notes. Our show notes. Yes.
Which are where?
Oh, at chuckchat.com/technorama.
What episode?
618.
There you go. Good boy. Yeah. Here, have a treat. Which brings us to our last story. And we've got a series of pictures here. These are kind of interesting. The first one I thought was a kind of a gimme. I didn't know exactly what kind of thing, what species this was. But let me just put some pictures up here for you. These are from Popular Science. These are very close-up, zoomed-in photos. And you see if you can guess with them. If you want to play along, I won't. Maybe we shouldn't give the answers. We can just have people guess what they are, or go to the link through the show notes, again, over at 618 at chuckchat.com/technorama. And the first one, I kind of figured, looked like a fish. Just you can tell from that eye on the far right. Yep, that's definitely
it. Yeah, but it looks like some kind of glass art or something.
It does. It does. And then the second one was Skittles. Rather interesting.
Somebody dropped their Skittles on the ground.
Skittles on the ground. We got into the third one, which I thought was really interesting. And I mean, these aren't something you can, some of these have really technical names. I would not have guessed that even if I knew what it was. Let me just give you a clue. This one that's kind of pastelish looking, which I think would just beautiful artwork in itself, is amino acids, glutamine and beta alanine. That's what that is. No, it looks more like
but it looks like a pastel painting of a jungle.
Yes, because you can kind of see leafy structures in there. I thought that was kind of cool. Let's see, do I have another one up here? I do. This one I never would have gotten, but I think is really cool. At first I would have thought it was like a jellyfish with the colored kind of Venus flytrap arms sticking out the sides of it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil this one. I want you to go guess what it is, because you won't guess. It almost looks like a tire track right through the middle. Not that a tire track.
That is pretty cool. That last one looks like an alien baby.
You know what? I actually guessed this one. I wasn't on the species, but I knew what it was just from the bone structure. I'm going to leave that one alone. But yeah, alien baby, not an alien baby. You can kind of guess from those oversized phalanges on the hands, on the what it is.
That's pretty cool.
The last one with the colored web, I thought was interesting, because I did not know that what this was that complex of a weave. It's insane.
It looks like it's drawn almost.
It almost looked like core memory at first. with the donuts and whatnot. I was like, no, but that's more horizontal and vertical, and this has all kinds of extra knots in it, plus this gold thread moving through it. I'm like, what in the world? So yeah, very interesting stuff. So fun stuff. We're not going to ruin the surprise for you. You go check it out, and we want to hear from you what you thought some of these were and what they actually turned out to be, because like that beta thionine, guanine, whatever it was, amino acid one. No one's going to guess that. Come on.
That's maybe.
Beautiful. You never know. But ain't going to happen. Okay, that brings us to our final thing, and that is our question of the week for next week. If you had a chance to broadcast one song to all of the 7.8 billion people on this planet, assuming they understood the song, maybe? I mean, if it was in a language, you know.
Don't go that crazy, but yeah. Okay.
What song would it be? What would you choose? If you could send one song to all the people, what would it be?
I'd like to give the world a Coke and sing.
You know, that song actually does have a real name. That Coke borrowed the tune and modified it.
Right. I don't know. Probably the song that Bill and Ted did at the end of the Bill and Ted 3.
Be excellent to each other.
Yeah, that's right.
There's always John Lennon's Give Peace a Chance.
Imagine
is a good one. Yep. I should do that one in karaoke again. That's a good song to sing. Okay. And that brings us to the end of the show.
Note to self.
Okay. I'm not going to sing it now, but now it's stuck in my head. Thanks, Greg. Yeah. Let's play You're the welcome. Outro, and we'll get out of here releasing our... listeners and viewers from their obligations. Thank you very much for joining us on Facebook and YouTube, wherever you are or whenever you are, whether you're watching this live or later. We thank you either way. If you want to watch us live and get your comments on there and get a shout out on the show, chuckchat.com. Go over to Technorama podcast on YouTube and Facebook. You'll find it. It's not that hard. And again, the Patreon thing, patreon.com/technoramapodcast. Appreciate our patrons very much. In fact, we're going to record their show right after we're done with this. So That's right. Thank you. Tell a friend about Technorama. Tell them where to find it. And just go, hey, here's something you might find fascinating.
Revolting?
Fascinating.
Oh, fascinating. I'll go with that one.
Or we could save that one for Topic is Trek. Till then, till next time, tell a friend about Technorama, and Craig, give him a binary high five.
All right, 101. Till next time, everybody.